Two men were walking down a street in New York City with all the horns and people talking and walking by when one of them stopped. The second man asked what was wrong, and he said, "I hear a cricket." The second man said, "There's no way, with all of this noise, that you could hear a cricket." He pulled him over to a flower pot in the street and found the lone cricket singing its song. The second man wondered how he could hear that little cricket with all of this noise. And the first guy said, "Just watch." And he pulled out a few coins out of his pocket and threw them on the sidewalk. Everyone within 30 feet turned to look at the change scattering on the sidewalk. The man who had heard the cricket said, "It just depends on what you are listening to." And so what I want to ask you today is, what or who are you listening to? What voice are you listening for? You know, the storyline of the movie series, The Chronicles of Narnia, was written by C.S. Lewis. And I'm just curious, has anyone read a C.S. Lewis book that's here? Awesome. Awesome. It's an interesting read, and I showed this clip because it is from the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. Anyone with kids probably knows that. But it is a great movie. But I will say, before you allow your kids to see it, make sure you watch it. Make sure you feel that you're comfortable in showing your kids, because there is some violence and some ugly things. All right. But anyway, it's Prince of Caspian, and the movie clip was a common theme where Lucy, the youngest girl, was more open to seeing Aslan. Now, Aslan was a lion, and it represented Jesus in these books, or in these movies. Okay? So Aslan was the connection to Jesus in these C.S. Lewis stories. But Lucy was more open to seeing and hearing him than the other siblings. And Narnia is this other world that animals speak, trees speak and move. Everyone is kind of in it together. So anyway, she had, in the first movie, had gone through the wardrobe, right? You remember? Into this new world. And when she went back through the wardrobe to her old world, her siblings did not believe her, right? Did not believe her. Well, in this movie, she finds herself in a similar situation when it comes to sensing Aslan's presence. No one sees Aslan. And when her brother Peter asks why he couldn't see Aslan, Lucy, wise beyond her years, says, "Maybe you didn't want to see him." Even though her siblings questioned her, she is firm in claim that she did see Aslan, and eventually she's rewarded by seeing him face to face. Now, of all the human characters in the Chronicles of Narnia, Lucy is most attuned to Aslan's voice and Aslan's calling. She hears him and obeys. Her faith opens her to the wonders of God and his calling. And I ask you again today, what voice are you listening to? What voice do you have your ears tuned to? Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The Bible, however, doesn't call us to blind faith. It calls it reasonable faith and understands Christianity as being, according to the Apostle Paul, true and reasonable, Acts 26:25. Or as C.S. Lewis wrote, "God wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head." Mere Christianity. Think of all the voices that shout at us. Voices of our troubled world, our confused society, our fragmented humanity, our own pain, our own brokenness, our own desires. We have the voices of email, of Instagram, of texts, of Facebook, of the news, right? What are the voices in your life that are filling your mind as well as your time? Each voice stakes claim on our life. Amen? I mean, do you agree with that? Y'all okay today? Each voice asserts the truth of its own, right, on our lives. Right? We wonder to which voice we should listen, don't we? Who is calling us? Is it the voice of truth or is it the voice of lies? We hear some voices saying one thing, other voices saying the opposite. One calls us to look out for number one, but another calls us to surrender to our self-seeking for some cause. Some voices say it is this cause. Other voices say it is that cause. We hear televangelists assuring us that the world is on its last leg and that the return of Christ is near. Then we hear the ecologists ask us to save this planet for the sake of our future generations. We hear pro-life voices and we hear pro-choice voices. We say that five times real fast. The voices of the creationists and the voices of the evolutionists fill our ears. Some voices call it art, while other voices call it pornography. Can we hear the truth in all the noise? Where is the voice of God? Is there a voice of God to be heard? If we look at our scripture for today, even Philip, one of our first evangelists, was shot down and had to consider what voice to listen to. Let's see this. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of son of Joseph," if I could read, "from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Anyone who has probably invited someone to a Bible study or to worship or to, you know, just an activity at the church probably has been shot down with something like that, right? The same attitude. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you know, our best word back is what Philip said. What was it that Philip said? "Come and see." Or in guy talk, "If you have the guts, come and see what it's about. If you think you can handle it, come and check it out." I don't know how you ladies talk. Right? Y'all come now? Did I have the right flip on that? Y'all come now? Sorry, honey. But yeah, "Come and see," Philip said. "Come and see." So how do we get better hearing and become more aware of God's presence and God's calling in our lives? Scripture and tradition, folks, as you well know, have given us what are called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines to help us in this area. And if you want to grab a pen or a pencil or something, grab your bulletin or something in your pew there to write these down, I invite you to do that. The first one is to cultivate a regular and consistent prayer life. And now I know there's someone out there that is saying, "Well, preacher, if I were a preacher, I could have a regular and consistent prayer life." And I'm here to tell you that most preachers do not have a regular and consistent prayer life because there are strings pulling on their life in every direction. So it is hard work. even for people who have felt God's call on their life to share His love and His mercy and His grace. It's still tough. I'm not saying it's easy for you either. What I'm saying is we need to cultivate a regular and consistent prayer life. Amen. 2, be open daily to seeking God's influence in our lives. Now that may sound kind of silly, but I mean, do you get out of bed and ask God for His influence in your life that day? Do you, when you walk into your work, or when you walk into Walmart, or when you walk into Newman's, or did you say, "Hey God, if there's someone in here, put me to work. I'm here for you." Right? Be open daily to seeking God's influence in our lives. 3, read the Bible regularly and thoughtfully. I go back to my comment that was maybe even a year ago, and probably Ginger could tell me exactly what I said because I can't remember, but for every 5 minutes you watch the news, how many minutes did I say you need to spend reading the Bible? You remember? Say 10. 20? 30? Oh, well, here we go. What are you going to give me for them? All right. But for every 5 minutes you watch the news, I would say you need to read the Bible for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Because think about it. Think what voice is going to be louder in your head if you don't. The news, right? Yeah. The news, right? So read the Bible regularly and thoughtfully. 4, seek and heed the wise counsel of others. Now, who do you think is wise counsel? Dad? Yeah, that would be a... Yeah. What? You brown noser. But I would say amen to that too, my wife. Yes. Yeah. I mean, in many cases, you could look to your right or look to your left right now and find wise counsel. Next, develop a genuine desire to be in God's will. A genuine desire to be in God's will. Next, experience periods of fasting. I know, I really need to. But not just from food, right? It could be from coffee or pop, or for you St. Louis folks, soda, right? It could be from smoking or chewing. It could be from many, many things, right? But the thing is, when you experience periods of fasting, you're not just stopping that activity, you replace it with prayer. Okay? Next, repent of any possible hindrances, including people, in our life that may distance us from God. Repent of any possible hindrances in our life that may distance us from God. Next, practice biblically based contemplation and silence, focusing on God and His truths. Now, I want to say just a little bit about that. This is sitting in silence to be in God's presence. All right? Now, for me, I have never been diagnosed with ADD, but I kind of, my mind goes everywhere, right? And so when I sit there, I have a notebook. And usually, I am thinking of all these things that I got to get done and I really shouldn't be sitting here. Anybody there with me? Right? And what I'll start doing is I'll start making a list. Whatever goes through my head, I write it down. And I notice as I practice that, maybe not the first time, but as I practice that practice, my mind begins to quiet as I write those lists down. Does that make sense? So if something goes through your mind, you write it down. You don't have to worry about it anymore, right? When it's written down. And your mind just gradually gets quieter and quieter. And you sit there with God in silence. That's what contemplation is. Okay. Finally, unclutter our spiritual lives so God has room to move. Unclutter our spiritual lives so God has room to move. You know, it's interesting to me. It actually came to me in a meeting the other night here at the church. And I wonder, because I really think this is an issue with many churches, not just ours. But I think so many times we pray for God's blessings where we believe God should bless. Do you understand what I'm saying? We pray for God's blessings where we believe God should bless. And the thing is, we go, dear God, what's going on? I'm being faithful to you. Why aren't you blessing this, whatever it is, right? And God says, well, now wait a minute. I am blessing this. I'm blessing this. Come and be a part of this. And I'll bless you too. You hear what I'm saying? So we need to unclutter our spiritual lives so that God has room to move. Or move to room, I suppose. Either way. All right, so cultivate a regular and consistent prayer life. Be open daily to seeking God's influence in our lives. Read the Bible regularly and thoughtfully. Seek and heed the wise counsel of others. Develop a genuine desire to be in God's will. Experience periods of fasting, not just from food, but from many things. Repent of any possible hindrances in our life that may distance us from God. Practice biblically based contemplation and silence, focusing on God and His truths. And clutter our spiritual lives so God has room to move. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. That's Matthew 14:23. And you know, along with uncluttering our lives, we should follow his example and take breaks of solitude. It's too easy to be distracted by diversion. Amen? The neglect of the spiritual life is a neglect of God. And see, the Spirit is... If we were hungry for spiritual things the way we were hungry for food, probably we would be much more holy people, right? What happens if we don't eat or drink over time? We wither away, right? What do you think our souls are doing when we ignore them? Right? We need to take breaks of solitude, spend time with God. Far from heeding biblical instructions to never be lacking in zeal and keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord, Romans 12:11. Many times many of us find it easier to lose ourselves in the diversion, right? A media-saturated culture promotes the craving for fast-paced amusement, emphasizing sounds and images rather than careful reflection. Learning to become quiet is important when it comes to hearing God's call. We need space for holy reflection. Biblically, we are told by God in the Psalms to be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. Several times, particularly in Psalm 119, God's people are instructed to meditate on God, including contemplating His precepts. In verses 15 and 78, contemplating His ways in 15, decrees in 23 and 48, contemplating His wonders, His law, His statutes, right? To contemplate His promises in verse 148. To be still and contemplate in a biblical sense involves an effort, but it is an effort God has called us to make as excessive diversion desensitizes the soul to God's calling. We must give God room to grow in our lives. And Revelation 3:20 says that Jesus stands at the door to our heart and knocks, and we must let Him in. Jesus does not force Himself in. We must open the door and let Him in. But how can we hear His knock if our own actions drown out His calling? back when the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication. A young man applied for a job at as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist's counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out his form and sat down with the seven other applicants in the waiting area. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants were wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard anyone call them yet. They assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but this job has been filled." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never even had a chance to interview. Yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I am sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did. The job is his." Folks, we live in a world that is full of busyness and clatter, just like that office. People are distracted and unable to hear the voice of God as He speaks to them. And my question today is, what about you? What voice are you listening to? Are you tuned into God's voice? Do you hear Him when He speaks to you? Are you listening? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You so very much for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together and to worship. But dear God, we need serious help in hearing Your voice. We need to understand how to move into Your blessing and not be stubborn and say, "We will be blessed where we are." Help us, God. Give us strength and courage. Clear our fear, God, so that we can move and be blessed by Your glorious presence. Anoint us fully, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,